Somebody's got to do it. I'll get it.
Closer to you, Lord, closer. Let's stand together as we sing, "What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms." Together in our litany this morning, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven,
remind us that we have a heavenly parent who loves us unconditionally. Remind us that we are your children. Remind us that we are all brothers and sisters.
Hallowed be your name.
May the way we live, the way we talk, the way we show love to our neighbor, give honor to your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Help us. to allow your love and grace to flow through us, that others may experience your kingdom. May we seek to perfectly obey your will here, even as it is done in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Teach us, Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. Remind us that because you are our shepherd, we have all we need.
Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors.
Do we really dare to pray this way? Forgive us as we forgive. Show us that it is only as we forgive others that you can then forgive us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
May we continually seek to live so close to you and your will that temptations will not have an opportunity to take root in our minds and hearts.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. I do not object to having a cheering section down here, okay? All right. You know, when I was up in Wisconsin, I used to have about 4 services a week in the nursing homes. And I had a karaoke machine, and I did some music, did some Bible studies and whatnot. Had this one dear old lady, had snow white hair braided all the way down her back. She was blind. She'd sit on the front row, and she'd just enjoy the music so much. And one day, I was talking to her afterward, and she said, you know, she said, you remind me of those old Methodist stump jumpers we used to have. I hadn't heard that term up until that time, but you do know that Methodist used to be called shouting Methodist. And nowadays, about the only shouting we hear in church is either during a bingo game or during an administrative council meeting. But anyway, so I don't object at all. Any joys and concerns you want to share as we go to prayer? Oh, my. Yeah. Okay.
Jim Pelfrey, some may know Tim, he's Jim Pelfrey's son. A year ago, his mother died of cancer, and that's when they found out he had cancer.
Oh, my. Okay, thank you. We want to continue to remember the people of Las Vegas and all they're going through. Remember that very often when these things happen, there are copycats. We need to prepare ourselves spiritually for the fact that this may not be the end, it may be the beginning. Remember the people of Puerto Rico and the Caribbean, people of Florida, people of Texas, people of Louisiana and Alabama as of last night. Do remember them in your prayers. Any others? Okay, thank you. Sharon?
I have a praise. I have a niece who is in Germany with her husband who is working on fellowship there. And she just had a baby boy yesterday. And
Great. That's one of those situations where I don't think language is a barrier. Right. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain. In your infinite wisdom and mercy, you knew that sunshine 365 days a year would yield a desert. So you knew that in nature and in your creation, we need both the sunshine and the rain. In our lives, Lord, we experience days where it seems to be so sunny and bright, and then days when the storms seem to move in. And we thank you that you're watching over us during those times as well. You're with us through our health issues. You're with us through those times when we feel like we're coming to the autumn and the winter of life. You're with us in relationship issues. You care about our finances. You care about our employment or underemployment. We thank you that your word promises that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you do care for us. We just pray this morning, Lord, that you be with each one in this place. May they feel your presence and your strength. May they know that you do care. We pray today that you'd be with our political leaders all around the globe. We pray that you would put them in the right mind and heart that they might seek to be builders of your kingdom, not their own. Be with our troops, Lord, and their families. Be with those who are traveling. We just thank you, Lord, and praise you that we're part of the family of God. We're children of the King. Forgive us for those times when we act like orphans. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity not only to experience your love and grace, but to reach out and share it with others. Make a difference. Help us that when people see us, they might be able to see Jesus in us. The same Jesus who taught us all to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Ushers, would you come? Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you'd bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. It's God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. The songwriter said, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." If you don't remember anything else today, remember those four words: God will take care of you. Six. Okay, close. All right. Good for a point in horseshoes. Let's sing together.
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way.
Remain standing for the reading of the Gospel from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Let me touch Jesus.
Maybe you've been wondering about the sermon title today. Maybe you've just kind of gotten immune to that guy up front and you just ignored it. Better than hot yeast rolls. There are several restaurants that I could name today that when you go in, the first thing they bring you is a basket of nice hot yeast rolls. And I have discovered that if I'm not careful, by the time the entree gets there, I'm really not that hungry anymore. Something about breaking those rolls open when they're almost too hot to handle and putting the butter on them, letting it sink in. When Catherine and I were going together, I was going to tell this whether she was in here or not, but when we were going together one night, she invited me over for dinner. She fixed a fantastic meal. She had hot yeast rolls. Just before we started to eat, I was looking around and she said, what are you looking for? And I said, do you have any peanut butter? She thought, oh my, I messed up somehow and he's going to eat peanut butter sandwiches instead of the meal. No, I grew up believing that you can't live by bread alone. When my two brothers and I were at home, my parents would buy a 5-pound pail of peanut butter every week. And that was the kind when you took the lid off, you had to kind of stir it up. You remember the oil would be on top there? Yeah, you remember that. And I still like peanut butter. In fact, a lot of times when I go to Panera Bread, I go with the intention of having a bagel, and I'll take one of those little Jif peanut butter individual serve cups. I have it right there in my pocket. Now, they have peanut butter there at Panera, but it ain't Jif. You know, so it's super crunchy, extra crunchy, whatever it is, but that's what I take with me, and it works. But think with me today, as we read through the scriptures, we find a lot of talk about bread. We're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. We've already discussed the fact that the Lord's Prayer has somewhere between 50 and 66 words in it, depending which translation you use. And I do realize that in the Catholic Church, they do it a little bit differently than we do. I've talked about Russ before. He was my associate pastor for several years. And he's got a number of family members that are Catholic. And one Sunday, they went to the Catholic Church with them. And Russ really likes to get involved in the service wherever he is. And they were praying the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And Russ stood there and says, for thine is the kingdom and the... And he realized he was the only one saying that, because in the Catholic Church, they don't do that very often, do they, if at all? Okay, but anyway, 50 to 66 words in the Lord's Prayer. We talked about Lincoln's Gettysburg Address has 286 words. The Declaration of Independence has 1,322 words. And Congress, bless their hearts, they came out with a federal regulation concerning the price of cabbage that had 26,911 words in it. Congress has a way of doing that, don't they? In the few words of the Lord's Prayer, we discover God's guidelines for our brief journey here on earth. We discussed the idea of our Father. We discussed holy is your name, your kingdom, your will be done here just the way they are on earth. And it's only when we can sincerely pray up to that point that we can go on in the Lord's Prayer. The next phrase was, give us this day our daily bread. Have you ever wondered about that? Israel was in the wilderness complaining to Moses about the food. They said, we should have stayed in Egypt as slaves where we had food to eat than to live here as a starving free people. Have you ever noticed in every church there's a back to Egypt committee? The Israelites were saying, well, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to the way things were. We were better off then. And in the church, there are people that are just that way. Down through the years, I've heard, had people say, well, my grandparents didn't need this. Why do we need it now? And it depends how ornery a mood I'm in. Sometimes I say, well, your grandparents didn't need inside plumbing either. Do you want to go back to that? Times are changing. We can't go back. I've had dozens of young people tell me they wish they could have grown up in the 50s. It was a different world than it is now. Yes, it was. For better or for worse, it was different. But that's not where we are. The Israelites would learn again that in the wilderness of life, God still provides and rescues. The next morning, the scriptures tell us the ground was covered with a flaky substance. Maybe sort of like Kellogg's cornflakes. I don't know. Probably pretty close. It could be prepared and eaten like bread. Now, it had to be gathered daily. It couldn't be kept overnight. If it was, it'd be unfit to eat. Sort of like leftover French fries. You know, there are a lot of fast food places where I love their fries if they're hot. I will not eat them if they're not. Okay? This could be part of the origin of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Reminding us to live one day at a time. You remember in the movie Forrest Gump, when Bubba was telling Forrest all the different ways that shrimp could be eaten? I kind of think the Israelites probably enjoyed that part of the movie, because they must have had raw manna, baked manna, fried manna, boiled manna, broiled manna, grilled manna. Who knows all the other recipes? Microwaved manna, whatever. Okay? The daily manna became a symbol for Israel of God's care for them during their wilderness journey. In Psalm 78, it was remembered as God's gracious act in spite of their unfaithfulness. It says, they stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. When the Lord heard them, he was furious. The fire of his wrath burned against Jacob. Yes, his anger rose against Israel, for they did not believe God or trust him to care for them. He rained down manna for them to eat. He gave them bread from heaven. The people of Israel knew that the manna was from God. They never forgot who gave them the bread of life. Many of you have read the comic strip Kudzu. Good Southern title. The preacher in that comic strip is Will Be Done. Okay? And he's reading the Lord's Prayer from the Bible. It says, "Give us this day our daily low-fat, low-cholesterol, whole-grain, salt-free bread." In the last frame, he says to himself, "I really don't like these modern translations." The first electric toaster, whether you realize it or not, appeared in 1909. It toasted one side at a time, and you'll remember, many of you remember, it took constant vigilance. You had to watch it. When the toast was done, you pulled the plug. I remember those. Open up the door, put the bread in, toast one side, open up the door, take the bread out, turn it over, toast the other side. And when you get it out, you don't drop it on the floor because it'll break in 20 pieces. Hard as a brick. Okay? The first automatic electric toaster was designed in 1919 by Charles Streit, a man who was tired of burned toast. Now, Americans were kind of skeptical at first about having a single use or a single function appliance. However, in time, prices dropped and sales skyrocketed. From 1922 to 1930, sales tripled from 400,000 units to 1.2 million. Thanks in part to the invention of sliced bread by Wonder Bread. Until this time, you remember, bread was always sold in loaves. I've shared with you that when I was 14, we moved from New England to Florida, and I got my first real job then. Up to that time, I'd mowed lawns, raked leaves, shoveled snow, that sort of thing. But I got a job while I was in high school at a lumber company. Now, child labor laws and OSHA and everything else like that wouldn't allow it now, but that's where I was working. And I've shared with you how when I got my first paycheck, I think it's August or September, I went downtown and I laid away Christmas presents for Mom and Dad, and every payday I'd go pay on them. For Dad, I got him a Scott seed spreader to help him with the yard work. For Mom, I got her a pop-up toaster. First one we'd ever had. And Christmas Day, we went through a whole loaf of bread. Thanks to Mom's Christmas present. Oh, that was good stuff. There was an elderly gentleman who every day would go to the diner to get soup for lunch. One day the manager asked him how his meal was, and he replied, "It was good, but two slices of bread is not enough." How many of y'all put bread in your soup? We got a few of us here. Okay, you might try it. Okay. So anyway, the next day the manager told the waitress to give him four slices. Again, the manager asked him when he finished eating, "How was your meal?" The customer said, "It was good, but I needed more bread." Next day, the manager told the waitress, "Give him eight slices." Same question, "How was it?" Same response, "Good, but I could use more bread." Next day, manager told the waitress to give him the whole loaf of bread, 16 slices. Again, the manager asked him the same question. Again, the customer responded with the same response. So finally, the manager was determined that he was going to try to please this guy. So the manager went to the bakery and ordered a 6-foot-long loaf of bread. The next day, when the customer came in, the manager sliced it all the way down the middle, buttered both sides, had the waitress lay it out across the table. with a man's bowl of soup. The man ate the soup and the bread, came up to pay. And the manager said, "Well, sir, how was your meal today?" Man said, "Well, it was good, but I see you've gone back to just two slices of bread." Dr. Fred Craddock, I've talked about him before. He was one of my professors at Emory University when I was in seminary. He told of going to hear a speaker share a persuasive talk on world hunger. He said shortly after the speech, he had forgotten just about everything the person had even said. Not too long after that, he went to hear another speech on world hunger. He said the speaker was a little, short, white-haired lady. She didn't have as much education as the previous speaker. She didn't have the honed speaking skills, but he said he never forgot what she said. She repeated one sentence in 53 different languages while tears ran down her cheeks. And then finally, she repeated that sentence in English. It was, "Mommy, I'm hungry. Why don't we have any food?" We cannot pray the Lord's Prayer in the first person, I. We cannot say the Lord's Prayer and even once say me or my. Nor can we pray the Lord's Prayer and not pray for another. For as we ask for daily bread, we must include our sister and brother. Yes, others are included in each and every plea. From the beginning to the end, it never once says me. If we truly desire to honor God's name, to see God's kingdom in us, to have God's will be done, we will have bread and we will share it. Dr. A.T. Peterson was a guest of George Mueller at his orphanage. He said one night, George asked me to join him in prayer after everyone else had gone to bed. He said, "We need to pray because there is no food for the next morning's breakfast." Dr. Pearson told Mueller that all the stores were closed. Mueller knew that. He had prayed as he always prayed, and he never told anyone of his needs but God. They prayed, then they went to bed and slept. When they awoke, breakfast for 2,000 children was there at the usual breakfast hour. Neither Mueller nor Pearson ever knew how the answer came. The story was told after Mueller died. It was told the next morning to Simon Short of Bristol under the pledge of secrecy until Mueller had passed away. You see, in the middle of the night, the Lord woke up the local baker and told him to send breakfast to Mueller's orphanage. And knowing nothing of what the need was or of the two men at prayer, the baker sent provisions that would last them for a month. Give us this day our daily bread. As God does that in our lives, we'll see to it that others have bread too. A story is told of Dwight L. Moody walking down the street in Chicago, walking down Michigan Avenue. A man came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, here's $5 for your ministry. God told me to give it to you." Back then, $5 was a considerable sum of money. Dwight L. Moody placed it in his pocket. He hadn't gone but another block or so when a man came up and he said, "Pardon me, sir." He said, "I lost my job. I've got 5 children at home. There's no food. I don't know what to do. I'm looking for work. I hate to even ask, but is there any way you could help us?" Mr. Moody took the $5 out of his pocket, handed it to the man. He walked on. He hadn't gone very far when another man came up and said, "Mr. Moody, I felt led to give you $5 toward your ministry." He said again he hadn't walked very far when someone else came up and had a very dire need, and he reached in his pocket and pulled out the $5 and gave it to him. A little while later, the third person came up and gave him $5. No one else came up with a need, and no one else came up with any more money either. You see, you and I are called as His church to be a river, not a reservoir. We're not called to hold on to it, to grab it, to hoard it, to keep it. We're called to allow it to flow through us to others. And as we do, God will give. For 12 years, I started and maintained a furniture ministry. We started out doing office furniture for nonprofit groups, and we gave, by the time it was over and done with, we'd given away over 120 semi-loads of furniture out. I got a call saying, "I've got 65, it wasn't 65, I guess it was 65 rooms of dormitory furniture. Can you use it?" And I always said yes before I knew if I could or not. And so I got to checking, and I gave, I guess it was 80 sets. I split them up. I sent one of the truckloads directly down to Angelic Ministries on Central Avenue in Knoxville. They unloaded them down there. And I sent the other truckload to Wesley Woods Camp. They said they could use it. There were a total of 80 bunk beds, steel bunk beds. The ones they had were all falling apart, and the director didn't know how they were going to get new ones. So I sent them down there, and then both groups contacted me and said, "That was great, we really needed it, but we need mattresses." So I kept calling my source, and finally he called me back and said, "Okay, they're on the way." So I split them up between Angelic Ministries and Wesley Woods Camp. Each group got 65 brand new Tempur-Pedic mattresses still in the wrappers. God moves in mysterious ways as wonders to perform. And folks, if we would dare to allow God to work not just in us, but through us, we'd be amazed at what God would do. I'm told that in the Greek there are at least 30 interpretations for the word bread and what the bread might be. Now, this morning I'm not going to cover all 30 of them, but let's look at just 5 of those interpretations of that word. First of all, it could be the bread of the Lord's Supper. John Wesley talked about our being in continual communion, meaning sometimes at least 5 days a week we would observe the Lord's Supper. Second, meaning of that word could be spiritual food from the Word of God. Health experts tell us that we should eat at least 5 or 6 small meals each day. Keeps our metabolic rate up. Now, I don't know about you, but I've discovered if I skip a meal, I get to the point where I'm ready to eat just about anything in sight, anything and everything. Maybe even some things I shouldn't eat. Probably some things I shouldn't eat. But I do. If we would eat regularly, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't go on those binge eating expeditions. And also, if we nourish ourselves spiritually on a regular basis, we won't fall prey to temptation either. But so often we'll eat. We might eat 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day. But spiritually, well, I'll try to go to church on Sunday at 11 if I can. I've talked to you before, I mentioned it before, what would happen? Suppose the only time you ate physically was after you had fed yourself spiritually, whether through devotions or Bible study or listening to some good gospel music. Say, okay, I've had my spiritual food, now I'll eat physical food. I think if most of us would do that, we would not have anybody in this place, anybody in this town, anybody in this county, anybody in this country that would be overweight. Don't you think? Uh-huh. Think about it. Number three, the bread mentioned could be Jesus, the bread of life. After he finished feeding the multitude, he said, I am the bread of life. Now, bread is regarded as the basic food to keep people alive. I mean, what would you do without bread? Can you imagine eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without any bread? No. So Jesus is the bread of life, the source of life for our spirits. Some verses from John 6. Jesus said, I assure you, Moses didn't give them bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. But those who believe in me will never thirst. He said, I assure you, anyone who believes in me already has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life, for I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread is my flesh, offered so that the world may live. Another interpretation for bread could be the Jewish understanding of bread being the kingdom of their coming Messiah. The Jews were awaiting the Messiah to come, and they're praying that this might be the day. Number five, the bread could refer to our basic needs of day-to-day living. We're promised, as that song that we sang says, that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Not necessarily all of our wants, but all of our needs. God provided the Israelites with daily manna. Jesus served up a free lunch for the hungry multitude. He supported his widowed mother and siblings. He knew about money problems. He was aware of the sacrifice of the widow who put two mites in the temple treasury. He knew the value of the lost coin in Luke 15. He was able to talk about the frugality of having patched clothing. He was aware of high supermarket prices. He knew that two birds sold for a penny. When we affirm the Lord's Prayer, there are four great truths that happen. First of all, we are totally dependent on God for life, breath, jobs, homes, relationships, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. John Wesley was asked the question, if you knew that you would die tonight, what would you do today? He replied, well, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, I would sit down to tea. At 6, I would go see Mrs. Brown at the hospital. At 7:30, I'd come back to the church for prayer. At 9:10, I would sit down to my evening meal. I'd go to bed at 10 o'clock and wake up in glory. You see, John Wesley trusted God for each day. Number two, the second thing that happens when we totally affirm the Lord's Prayer in our hearts, we're partners with God. If you were to get $1,000 a week, how much of that belongs to God? It's a trick question. I don't want to embarrass anybody. The answer is all of it. Okay? Everything belongs to God. I heard about a group of scientists had a talk with God one time, and they said, God, we really don't need you anymore. We are so smart, and we've gotten to the point technologically where we can do everything that you could do, so we don't need you anymore. God said, really? Everything? Yes, God, we can do anything you can do. God said, let's see you create a person. Scientists said, okay. They went down to the riverbank, and they started gathering up some clay, and God said, oh, no. You've got to use your own clay. It all belongs to God, and we can't forget that. G. Campbell Morgan was talking to a boy that was carrying a loaf of bread, and he asked the boy where he got the bread. From the baker. Where did the baker get the bread? He made it, said the boy. How did he make it? With flour. Where did he get his flour? He ground the wheat. Where did he get the wheat? He got it from the farmer. Where did the farmer get the wheat? Finally, the boy got the idea. He says, he got it from God. Then the man replied, so in reality, you got that loaf of bread from God, didn't you? The poet said, back of the loaf is the snowy flour, and back of the flour the mill, and back of the mill is the wheat and the shower and the sun and the Father's will. Number three, if we really believe the Lord's Prayer in our heart, we'll learn to trust God for one day at a time. Give us today our daily bread. Just like the Israelites with the manna. You collect enough for today. Don't try to save it. Don't try to hoard it. Each day as it comes. Suppose you received a notice. Certified notice in the mail. That you had won a very special lottery. 50 years worth of free bread, a loaf a day. Wouldn't that be great? Except the next morning you get a phone call, and the person on the other end says, hello, this is the semi driver, and I've got a trailer, 58-foot trailer full of 18,262 loaves of bread. Loaf a day for 50 days, or 50 years. Where do you want it? Well, yeah, I realize that we could go to Second Harvest and the Rockwood Ministerial Association Food Bank and places like that. But for us personally, that wouldn't be much of an answer to prayer, would it? 50 years of bread all at once? No. That's not what Jesus was saying and praying. He was saying, give us today our daily bread. And finally, number four, with open hearts, we will share God's blessing with all of our brothers and sisters if this prayer is really the one that we mean as we pray it day by day. Imagine if we could learn to trust God day by day and do the things we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Imagine what life would and could be like. Children of the King, providing, making it possible for us to reach out to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us every step of the way, that you will provide our needs, that you will make it possible for us to reach out to our brothers and sisters and share the fact that they have a Heavenly Father too. Thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Help us that we might do for you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing hymn says, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Shall we stand as we sing? Now may you leave this place filled to overflowing with God's love and grace to go out into the world as children of the King to share the abundance of your Heavenly Father with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.